Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
All your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagle's wings. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for a man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so it flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you angels, who excel in the strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his word, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, this wasn't the case for 9-year-old James David. I really wanted, and I mean really wanted, a new foam ball Nerf gun. My brother had gotten one for his birthday, and I guess you could say I was a little jealous. So I did chores for months until finally I had enough money. But then my mom, in a quick moment of wisdom, said, maybe you should think about it for a week or two. Holding back tears of frustration, I mustered a week. Yes, ma'am. So a week later exactly, I bought it the first chance I had, and I played, played, and played some more, until it was stuffed in my closet and forgotten about. As I reflected on it later, I wish I would have taken my mom's advice, but it would have been even better to read Psalm 23. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Even though my Nerf gun problems can't be compared to David's spiritual matters in Psalm 23, maybe if I would have known about Psalm 23, I would have been so quick to spend my hard-earned money. But when we look at this passage, we see that there are so many other great benefits when the Lord is our shepherd than just decisions on Nerf guns. First of all, when God is our shepherd, our needs are satisfied. When David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters, this is alluding to the sheep and shepherd relationship to Christ and Christians. If sheep have water and have grass, their needs are satisfied and they trust in their shepherd. As Christians, we should have this same kind of bond with Christ and trust that he will satisfy our needs. Secondly, God will restore your soul. The Hebrew word for restore is shub, which means to retreat, feed again, rejoice, refresh, rescue, or to turn back. Life has many troubles, and it's good to know that God will be there to restore us when needed. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we faint not. Third of all, our path is guided. Think about this for a moment. At one time or another, we have tried to guide ourselves, remember, and we were confident in our own ability. When you try to do that in a situation you could have used God in, it usually ends up a lot worse than if you would have just trusted God. In this life, you can't do things without Christ. We need Him. And if you don't believe me, just look at the cross. Jesus went through indescribable pain so we could have a path to heaven. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct our paths. Our path is guided. When we let God be our shepherd, our fears are relieved. The two biggest things I'm afraid of are dolls and puppets. I don't like the way their eyes follow you, or how lifelike they look, and sometimes how they move randomly. But in the end, I know they're not real. My fears, even though they are naive, are relieved by God. In the New Testament, the word fear is used 90 times, 3 times by Jesus when he was sending out the apostles to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, in Matthew 10:26-31. Hebrews 13:6 says, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? When the Lord is our shepherd, our fears are relieved. Months after wasting that money, I really regretted buying that Nerf gun. When I actually looked at the difference between the things I needed and the things I wanted, it wasn't such a big deal. I learned a big lesson by wasting that money, but a bigger one by reflecting on myself later. I learned that when I let God be my shepherd, my needs are satisfied, my soul is restored, my path is guided, and my fears are relieved. And that is enough. Thank you.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Good morning. This is how David begins Psalm 27. If you want to flip there, you can. That's where we're going to get all of our reading from today. Psalm 27. But as you're doing that, I want to tell you a story. When I was a kid, I played Little League baseball, like a lot of kids my age did. And I have a memory of being at the ballpark at night. And I imagine I was either waiting for one of my games to start or watching one of my friends' games. And I was there with my mom and my dad and my sister and two of my grandparents. Well, we were sitting there watching the game, and then all of a sudden, a fly ball popped up in the air. We didn't know where it went. And if you've ever been to a Little League baseball game, the first thing that they say when a fly ball pops up in the air is, heads up. So the crowd said, heads up. And so I looked up, and the only thing I could think about was catching the ball, not protecting myself. So I looked up, and I couldn't tell where it went, just that it had gone behind the catcher and over the fence. Well, I turned around, and I saw my granddad and my sister walking back from the concession stand. And the minute that he heard heads up, instead of looking up for the ball, he just put his hand on my sister's head. And I stood there, and I looked at it for a second, and I wondered, you know, why is he doing that? And I always knew that my family would protect me no matter what, but I guess until this point, I had just never seen such a clear and selfless example of it. And the reason I tell you this story today is because today I want to talk about protection. And that's what David is talking about in Psalm 27. Protection is obviously something that's very important to us in society today. It's why we hear sometimes to be defensive drivers from our parents. It's why we install security systems in our homes. And it's why our parents tell us to stay away from strangers. And while locks on our doors can't help us feel safe, as Christians, we have a type of protection that can do much more than a deadbolt can. And that type of protection is what David is talking about in Psalm 27. At the beginning of the psalm, David clearly has no fear of the things that could harm him in his life. He didn't question that he would be protected by God because he knew in his heart that his protection came from the one true God. And as Christians, we can have full assurance that God will never abandon us or leave us deserted. And David knew that too. It shouldn't come as a shock to us that David was fearless with God on his side when we examine all the trials and dangerous situations that he went through in his life. Granted, God was doing a little more for David than covering his head from a baseball. David started out young. He was shepherding his flocks, and he had to fend off bears and lions, and even went on to slay a giant Goliath. So if we want to look at that, let's look at 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 through 37. It reads, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, but this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God.' And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine.'" Now, clearly David has an immense amount of faith and trust in God, so much so that he will deliver him and keep him safe, even in the most dangerous of situations. Besides bears and lions and giants, he had to endure the pursuits of Saul, whose only intention was to kill David, and more specifically wanted to pin him to a wall with a spear. If you want to learn more about that, look at 1 Samuel 19. And even besides those two things, David was a king, and he had to lead his nation in battles and wars and be on the front lines and put himself in harm's way. These are a lot of dangerous situations that David had to go through. But from his life, we can know that God never leaves us on our own. He's present through everything. And back to Psalm 27, continuing after verse 1, David says, "When evildoers assail or attack me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident." Verse 5. "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." But David doesn't stop there. In verse 7 he says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You've said, 'Seek my face.' And my heart says to you, 'Your face, Lord, do I seek.' Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation." So here we can see that God is requiring something else of David. God tells David to seek him, and because David is seeking God, God never forsakes him. Verse 10, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." God takes us in and protects us if we give back to him the faithful service and love that he's worthy of. And this is another thing that David is trying to teach us and impart to us as readers in this psalm. The next question for us as Christians then is, how do we effectively equip ourselves so that we can live a life of faithful service to God? Here's a little bit of information about me. I'm in the marching band and I play tenors in the drum line. And one thing that we have to do is we have to take our drumsticks and wrap them in electrical tape. Because if we don't, they won't last as long. Because we have to play these things called shots where you have to hit the rim, and the drum head at the same time. And it can really damage the stick. But without that tape reinforcing the stick, it won't last as long and there's a greater likelihood of it breaking. Well, there was a time last year in my foolishness where I neglected to retape my sticks. And it was near the end of the season. So sure enough, we were in rehearsal running through the show a couple times. And it was the last run of the day. And we were near the end. We were in the last movement of the show. And I was going at it and I hit one shot really good. It sounded great, but it snapped my sticks in half. And I went home and told Mom and Dad, and they said that I had to pay the $40 to replace the sticks before my last performance of the season. And to this day, I retape my sticks an unnecessary amount, because I never want to pay that price again. But aren't we as Christians the same way? When we become Christians, we're fired up for the gospel, and we're ready to be used by God to bring more souls to him. But church family, how long does it take until we encounter hardships and temptation? How long can we last until we need some extra reinforcement to wrap around us so that we don't break when it matters most? How long can we neglect to repair ourselves until it's too late? We as Christians need that extra reinforcement and repair, just like my drumsticks did. While my sticks find it in something as simple as $5 electrical tape, we find it in something much more precious, and that's God's Word. When we envelop and wrap our thoughts and our lives and our actions around God and His teachings, we can withstand the constant battery of evil in this world that much more. When we have that extra protection, the knowledge of God's Word, we can accomplish great things. When we trust in God's protection and seek Him in all that we do, we will not break when we are needed most. We will not cower in fear at the first sign of trouble. We will be confident, protected, and fearless, just as David was, and will be able to say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?"
I will be reading Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 11. Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Good morning. As someone who loves history, I've always been fascinated by castles. Castle is a protection. Castle is a design that keeps people safe. In ancient times, a castle was as safe as you could possibly hope to be. I used to imagine walking through a castle and looking at the defenses as a battle raged outside. And I wanted to have that feeling that no matter what happened, I knew that I could be safe. Now, the odds of this ever happening to me today in real life, I now understand a odd but non-existent. But in the ancient writings, this was as safe as you could be. And likely due to this, God is often compared to a castle throughout the Bible. I'd like us to turn to Psalm 56, the same passage that Abby just read by us. And I'd like to go through the first section one more time, verses 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heat of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains trembled at its swelling. The very first line of this Sodom is one that I love because it's a clear and a sound declaration of faith and trust in God. The psalmist states that not only is God going to protect us, but that He's reliable and that He's always going to be there for us to go to. With that said, the Sodom also makes clear that as Christians, we have to anticipate difficult at times. We have to anticipate trial and temptation. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 say, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet troubles of various kinds, for you know that the testing of thy faith produces steadfastness. Our lives here on earth may never be perfect, but if we let God and we let Jesus be our fortress, we don't need to fear these troubles. As beautiful as it might sound to teach that as Christians our lives would be beautiful and perfect, that simply isn't the case. Instead, through prayer, through study, through fellowship, we need to be with God and prepare to face suffering and temptation head on." Now I'd like to go to the next section, verses 5 through 7. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Now, I can't read the first line of this Sodom, of this section, without thinking of Revelation 22. And I would ask you to turn thee with me. Stating in verse 1, "Then the angel showed me the water of life, the right as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruits each month. The leaves of the tree were by the healing of the nations." Now, the most important thing to take from these two passages is that God will provide for us and comfort us. He's already granted us life here on earth, and by sending Jesus to be our ultimate sacrifice, he's allowed us to have faith, hope, love, safety, and strength all in and through him. As the beginning of the Sodom stated, God is a very present help in trouble. And verse 5 says that his city shall not be moved. Next, we need to know that God would give us peace. Verse 6 says, "The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts." I know that this day and age, the world seems constantly divided. And as Christians, we do have certain things that we need to stick up for. But we also need to understand that when we come to God, that's an opportunity to escape from the troubles and the burdens of this world, a place that we can find peace and come together in his name. We have to realize that no matter what happens on this earth, that God will find a way and his will be done. Now I'd like to finish the Sodom, stating in verse 8, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes rises to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He binds the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I would be exalted in the earth. I would be exalted among the nations. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The first thing that I'd like to think about from this section is that we sometimes, as Christians, lose how lose the realization of how amazing God's beauty is. Sometimes we don't keep in mind that He's the creator of everything we have in this universe. Our God, as the Psalm says, has brought desolations on the earth. He's ended ways. He's stopped entire enemies. And that God is the one who wants to protect us. He's the one who we can choose to go to for refuge. He can be our castle. And sometimes I feel like we just need to take a moment, take a step back, and think about the fact that He is God. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Think about what that means. Think about who He is. Finally, in the last verse, the psalmist restates the last line of the second section, which is verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And I think that this is an overlooked line in this poem. But these two phrases, the Lord of hosts and the God of Jacob, are both important references. First of all, the Lord of hosts is a reference to God being the commander of the armies in heaven, the commander of the angels. And we need to remember, once again, this is just another demonstration of His power, that not only does He have dominion over this universe, but He has dominion of heaven. Secondly, the God of Jacob is a reference to the Abrahamic covenant that's found in Genesis 28, when God promises to Jacob to spread his generations throughout the world. And what we need to take from this last line is that God is always going to keep His promises. He kept His promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And He kept them to the Israelites whenever the Israelites constantly turned away and betrayed Him and stabbed Him in the back. And we need to know that He will continue to do the same today by each of us. He tells us that He would protect us, and we need to value that protection. Earlier I talked about a castle, but the fact is, a castle is no good if someone in that castle is a traitor. If someone in that castle opens the gate and lowers the defenses, then that castle becomes vulnerable. With God, we don't have to worry about it being vulnerable. We know that He will constantly be there for us to protect us. And because of that, we know that we can give everything we have to Him. As we come together today, I'd like to ask any of you who haven't taken the light as Sky Castle, who haven't gone to Him, who haven't searched for His protection, to take a moment and think of what that would mean. When given God's castle, you don't have to worry about the outside world. You don't have to worry about the battle that goes on this earth. Instead, we can look far away to the next life, and we can value God's protection. If you would like to accept the invitation today, please do as we stand and sing together.